Kentucky Derby is not a hat worn by a Southern colonel.
Yes, Helen Fred is past 35. It's time once more for radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man, now in its 83rd year. Each week at this time, The Answer Man answers the questions you, the radio listeners, send to him. Now, here he is, your friend, The Answer Man.
Well, good afternoon, friends, and thank you very much, Willard Scott. I see we have a pile of mail here today.
Yes, we do, Mr. Answer Man.
All righty, let's get on with the first question.
Our first question, a Northwest listener writes, What were the terms in the original Kellogg pack of 1918?
I'm not sure about the original Kellogg pack, but the new one has sugar pop, sugar puff, cornflakes, shredded wheat, and a whole lot of things like that there. Very good cereal.
A Fairfax listener would like to know, how do you get to McLean, Virginia from Tyson's Corner?
What's the matter? Don't they like it in Fairfax? Well, they want to go to McLean, Virginia. Let them stay where they are. That's my motto. Live and let live, you know.
A Tacoma Park teacher writes, what is the size of a baby hippopotamus when it's first born?
Slightly smaller than the size of a baby hippopotamus after it's been born a week.
Hey, Bethesda real estate man wants to know, what is the biggest house in the country?
From personal experience, I'd say the big house in Alcatraz. Boy, that's a whopper. They got a bunch of guys up there. Good bunch, though, I tell you.
You've been listening to radio's time-honored show, The Answer Man. If you have any questions for which you'd like the answers, just address a card or letter to The Answer Man, WRC Radio, Red Square, Hartburn 2, Virginia, along with $635 to cover the cost of handling and mailing. Be with us again next week when once again we'll present The Answer Man.
Good afternoon to you. Of course, this is the regular Twilight Tunes program that comes to you each day at this time.
That's right. This is Ed Walker.
Well, it's got here, and we want to thank you very much for listening, as always. But before the program gets underway, we have a very distinguished guest in our studio. We wanted to talk to him because he didn't have too much time. He cannot stay with us for the whole program.
That's correct, Willard. We have with us the noted French men's clothing designer Saparelli with us this afternoon.
Mr. Saparelli has designed clothes for the past 50 years, and he's one of the continent's foremost clothing designers.
Oui, that I am.
And it's certainly a great pleasure for us to have you with us.
You're right. I'm glad you realize that. I'm a busy man. This is quite an imposition, but I am glad to be with you.
Mr. Saparelli, you don't have too much time, but would you please give us a few hints on how we could dress a little better?
Just a moment, sir. It is a very simple thing to... Oh, dear me.
What's the matter, Mr. Saparelli?
Looking at your clothes, I was not taking too much yours. What is the name, Scott?
Yeah, I'm Mr. Scott.
Your partner looks bad enough, but you...
Oh, what is the matter?
Clothes, well, they look raggedy.
My clothes?
A man in your station in life should have... Look at this coat. Let me just take this coat off of you here.
Oh, but you ripped my coat
well,
off.
What's the difference? There was no good anyway.
Yeah, but that's...
It's like an old Pillsbury flour bag.
What are you going to do to replace
it? I have some clothes right here in my special closet that I carry with me all the time. Some clothes that will make you look like a new man.
Yeah, I know you got some clothes.
No, that shirt. Look at the holes in it. Let me just take the shirt off of your
ears, though. Hey, wait a minute.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, but now, wait.
Even your undershirt has holes in it.
I know. That's all right. Ridiculous. Rip my clothing here.
These pants, for instance.
It's a good pair.
Listen, no, they're not. Let me show you something here. These pants must not be. I have a new suit that will be most beautiful for you.
Well, my pants are fine, but...
Well, let me just take them off.
Oh, Mr. Saparelli.
Now then, I will get into my closet and get you some brand new clothes.
Freezing to death, you.
Yes, it's a chilly in this. Let me just open the closet door here.
What's the matter, Mr. Saparelli?
I seem to have forgotten the key to the closet. I cannot open the door. And I'm late now. I'm sorry, monsieur.
I just got over a cold.
I will see you next year.
You're leaving me in my BBD&Os here. I'm freezing to death, Mr. Saparelli. Mr. Saparelli, find the key and get me some clothes.
This is your announcer, Pete Scott, speaking to you from the Listening Auditorium of Mount Washington University in Washington, D.C. We're about to hear the WRC Symphony Orchestra in the Music for Juvenile Delinquent Concert Series. This afternoon, we're going to hear the Ed and Will Overture, written by those two distinguished men about radio, Willard Scott and Ed Walker. See, the maestro is mounting the podium right now, standing there with a chagrined look on his face. He raps for attention, and now the orchestra quiets down, and we hear the Ed and Will Overture.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Get blue detergent silver dust in the large size box with the lovely Cannon face cloth today.
That was the Ed and Will Overture, and now we return you to our studio. And time for You Know Who.
That's right, and he's coming in right now. In fact, he's creeping in from underneath the table. Here he is, Frank Forrestal.
A combined version of Pepper Young's Family and the Lone Ranger, an NBC exclusive. Led the fight for law and order in the early Western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse. Everest, the wolf pepper rides again. In his camp in the wild horse country of Texas, north of the Brazos River, the Lone sat on the ground with his back against a tree. A lift stood nearby. Using his ankles, the big white stallion pulled at a knot in a rope that bound the masked man's teeth.
As it is, you've loosened it. Now pull, fella. Now you're getting it, big fella. That's it. Good for you.
And it did, Captain. It did.
and so we'll have time for...
Well, that man rose to his feet and patted Sierra Blue.
Jim O'Neill.
Threw rein and dismounted in the woodland clearing.
Who is it?
Did you get all the supplies we need?
Jim O'Neill.
Ah. In Rushville?
Ah.
Did you ask the storekeeper about the wild horse hunters we're trying to find?
Huh?
The four men we've followed from the Oklahoma border have killed a lot of mustangs. They must have hides to sell.
Now, me only speak.
Ah. That's possible. I'm going to make a thorough inquiry.
Ah.
Yes.
Ah.
Now, I'll wear that old suit of buckskins you have in your saddlebag and disguise my face. As a further precaution, I'll leave the horse here and ride the scout.
A disguised Moonchi saw a group of soldiers and Indians standing in front of one of the tents on the courthouse lawn. The soldiers ordered him to halt and dismount.
Halt and dismount!
Hooska,
oh, it was just wonderful the way you did that, Pepper.
Then Captain Bates said, please face the Indians.
Now, let's keep quiet. Look at you.
All right. It's most unusual.
Chief. Was this man in the group of horse hunters who shot the Indian boy?
No, him, not one of them.
Very well. You're free to go.
But I did it.
Well, Captain, I'd like to speak to you privately.
Please, it's terribly important. We've come a long way just to talk to you.
Let's go to my tent. Well, here is a military pass to identify me. Why, this is issued to the Lone Chief. Yes. You've always been described to me as wearing a mask and riding a white stallion called Bliss.
I didn't dream you'd look like this. So lovely and gentle. I never dreamed you'd be so beautiful.
I learned of Bliss from camp, and I'm wearing a disguise in the hope of getting information about wild horse hunters who are operating in this area.
Horse hunters?
Yes.
Well, that's what I'm looking for.
That's what I thought when you questioned me.
Why are you looking for them?
I'd like to convince them that it's cruel and unnecessary to kill the horses for their hides when they can be broken and put to useful work.
If those men are found, they'll kill no more horses.
Oh.
They raided a Mustang herd on the Comanche Reservation. And in doing so, they shot and wounded a Comanche boy.
He took all his things with him, and guess he's gone for good.
So that's why you wanted the Indians to look at me.
Yes. But those men must be found and punished. Otherwise, Chief Quan and his people may go on the warpath.
I'm scared to death.
That would be a disaster for the whole Southwest,
right?
Is the chief sure the horse hunters shot the boy?
The men with him witnessed the shooting.
When did it take place?
Yesterday. The boy was trying to capture a Mustang to break and ride. The hide hunters didn't want him to scare the herd, which was inside the reservation, so they deliberately shot him.
Do you have any information about the horse killers?
Yes. They've been identified by detailed descriptions the Indians gave us. Hack Morris is the leader.
Oh.
Three members of the Yarrow clan are with him. They're Rube and Nick Yarrow, who are brothers, and a cousin named Polk Yarrow.
I've heard of Hack Morris. He was a close friend of the killer.
And I'll be grateful for any help you give us. But time is short. I'll try to keep the chief in town for a day or so.
How?
I'll report to you as soon as possible, Captain Bates.
The Little Pepper Young Family is produced by Herbert Marshall in Hollywood. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Procter & Gamble.
Your announcer, Elaine Kelly.
Flamenco dancer, guitarist, Mr. Jose Greco, who's flown into New York from New York to be with us as a special guest in our program. Mr. Greco, welcome.
Si, buenos dias, señor. It's a pleasure to be with you on your program today.
Jose, you are famous all over the world for your fine flamenco guitaring, is it all right?
That is correct. I am famous all over the world for our flamenco dancing, and the guitarists that I have with me in the studio are world famous for their interpretations of the flamenco music.
Well, it's really a pleasure for us, we deem it such, to have you on our program. Really an honor.
I understand I'm getting above scale for this appearance, right?
We thought it was a public service in cooperation with your new...
No such thing as public service for me, senor.
Well, we'll settle it later.
Si.
All right?
Si.
You can put your guitar down now, don't
you? Si. All right, sir.
All right, if you'd like to give us a little demonstration. First of all, where did you learn to dance?
Well, I learned to dance years ago at the Arthur Murray Studios. And then I decided to go into this business of the ballet dancing and the sort of thing that I'm doing on television and in the concert halls all over America now.
Well, by Arthur Murray's dance instructions, did you get the free lessons or did you pay?
Oh, I took the free lessons, and then I moved over to another dance studio, took a few more free lessons there, and I moved to another dance studio, took the introductory offer there. I took 10 years of free dance lessons.
And you've never paid a nickel for lessons?
Don't let it get around.
Oh, no. Well, nobody listens anyway, so don't worry.
I'd like for you to meet my guitarists. They're all with me here, and they've all come with me, and they've been with me for years. There's Cy.
Si.
And there is Jose.
Si.
And there is Antonio.
Si.
There is Herman.
Si.
I don't know how Herman got in there, but he's there, and we have all of our guitarists here, and we are now going to perform for you.
Very good, sir. Well, this is a real treat for us, so...
Clear the room here. I must have plenty of room in the studio here.
Okay. Mr. Jose Greco, the famous flamenco guitar Spanish dancer, is ready.
Are you ready?
Please!
Let's go! Hey!
This is a triple wazoo that he's doing now. Notice the footwork here. Really... something that I'm sure you
know.
Let me help you up, fella. What's
up? Drop the guitar, sir.
Yes. What happened?
Something happened. I slipped and it fell on the floor here.
I'm sorry. We waxed our studio floor just this morning. I guess it's just a
little... Why do you do such a ridiculous thing before I go to the dancing here?
Well, it doesn't look quite as shiny on this side of the studio. Would you...
Si.
I'm sorry. Get your guitar back.
We're tired, gentlemen.
Sorry, Jose.
We try it again.
Hey! Okay.
Double pops in the blue here that he's doing now. Notice the boot action. His boots are going... His boots are going perpendicular to the wall. Oh! Gee, Jose.
Come again.
Sorry, apparently the studio... Look,
this is unforgivable, senor. I will never come back to this station again.
Let's see. Maybe I could do something to the floor over here.
Yes, they never do this to me on the Dinah Shore show, believe me.
I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's move over across the hall here.
Yes,
let's move across the hall here.
All right, senor.
Get
this mic on over here.
Is it working?
Yeah, I think this one's...
All right. Very well, then. I will try it again.
Oh, terribly sorry.
This is the final time.
What are you going to do for us now? What step?
I am going to try the most difficult step in all of this type of dancing, the triple andante cantabile boot heel toe.
Si.
Are you ready, gentlemen?
The guitarist has 4 picks in his fingers here. He's really...
That is correct. 3 of them are toothpicks. The other one he plays the strings with. All right?
I see. Very
good. Si.
All right, let's go. I might warn you that our studio floor here has recently been investigated for termites, so maybe you better don't get too carried away, Jose.
Putting stuff to me now.
There you are. Jose, what are you doing down in the basement?
Hey, I'm all right, senor.
What are you doing down there with those papers?
Just looking for my Blue Cross policy, senor.
Back to our studio.
King Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you the exciting, heartwarming story of Stella Bear and her fight for love and happiness. Starring the gifted stage and screen star, Margaret Hartburn, in the title role of Stella Bear. As our story opens this afternoon, we find Mama Bear and Papa Bear, along with their young 38-year-old son, Herbert Bear, in the living room, where apparently there's been a big surprise planned for the whole family. I'm not doing too well today.
What's in this box here, Ma? This is a very interesting looking box here. It has the name of a jewelry store on it. Too big for a ring, though.
Well, Herbert, as a surprise for you, we were going to let it happen on your birthday. Papa and me were.
Yeah, Herbert, I thought it'd be a nice 39th birthday present for you.
Well, tell me, what is it there? Let's open up the box here. Doo-doo.
You're going to be surprised. Doo-doo.
Too big for a ring and a watch. I don't understand what it could be there. From a jewelry store.
Open up the paper.
My arm's fat, but it's not that big for a bracelet. I know that.
Look at that.
There's a lot of tissue paper there.
There they are.
What in the world? It looks like Hugh bookends.
That's exactly what it is. Your baby shoes, and we had them bronzed, Herbert.
Yeah, Herbert, those are the first shoes you ever wore when you were a baby.
Well, let me just take one of them out of the box here, Ma, and look at it here. They're bronzed. Look at that.
Here's the other one, Herbert.
Let me get the other one out. Where's the other one? There should be three in there. I got 3 feet, you know. Hey, that's the only one in town. Like, boy, those are cute little shoes, weren't they, Ma?
Yes, they are. You were such a cute little baby.
Those are the shoes that I wore.
That's it, the first pair you ever wore.
What size are they?
12.
For goodness sake, Ma.
Size 12. Herbert was a big baby. Still is. King Kong Birdseed has brought you another exciting episode of Just Plain Stella Bear.
I go to my shoes there, Mr. Announcer.
Based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Clyde, adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitz Geraldine. This has been a Sherman D. Tank production.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. The sky may be blue, the sun may be shiny, but here is the girl, without a doubt, a finey. Have me worried for them, too. Here she is, stepping out of her glass booth here at radio. Wish you get those number 10s oiled. Sweetheart, you're clumsier than an ox. Here she is, our favorite weather girl, the Washington sweetheart of weather.
Thank you.
Miss Janitor with the Washington Temperature.
I've worked in New York and even Poughkeepsie. And you're the first disc jockey I've known that was always tipsy.
Oh, tell everybody.
One walrus, two hippopotami, three porcupines, four freshmen.
Wait a minute. What are you reading here?
I started off by reading the new...
started off by...
reading
your...
the new animals at the zoo, and then I...
What's this four freshmen, another animal?
Little Al Ross music sheet.
You got an Al Ross music sheet here?
At the zoo, yes.
At the zoo. But he's bigger than
in the zoo. Cage, they use it.
They all the porcupine eye. Listen, well, I mean, this is fine. You're...
I thought the people might like to know what's new at the zoo.
What's new at the zoo?
What's new at the zoo?
That'd be a good name for a series show. Yeah. You might win an Emmy next year.
Maybe I will. Why I should have won one last.
Try for it.
Frank Foster got the award.
Well, you're breathing on my suit and changing the colors here, so why don't you...
I ran Clint Ewell out of business. I'll take care of Foster, too.
Yeah, well, listen, why don't you just take care of the door there and... shut it behind you. Just leave, will you? It's terrible.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you to the Baton Rouge nightclub in Los Angeles, California, for the presentation of the 1959 Emma Awards.
And now, thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, members of the Television Academy of Arts and Sciences, we will now make the presentation for the Best Midnight Monster Film Series on Television. The envelope, please. The winner, the Frankenstein Midnight Monster Series, and here to receive the award is Mr. Frank Stein, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. I want to thank all of the monsters and ghouls who made this possible.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the next award will be presented for a local television personality for his contribution to the education of his listeners. That award is presented to Jerry Strong for his backstage television film news. Here to receive the award for Mr. Strong is his wife, Gemma.
Thank you,
very much. It's a great honor for me to accept this award for Jerry. And I certainly want to take this opportunity to thank Miss Eddie Gallagher for making this all possible.
Wait a minute. Miss Gemma Strong, I thought they had shows in competition. How do you thank Eddie Gallagher for making Jerry's show possible?
Well, you see, I watch Mr. Gallagher every day and take notes on the backstage reports that he gives, and then Jerry gives them on another channel an hour later.
I think I better be investigated, but we haven't got time right now. We'll continue on with our presentation of these awards. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the Television Academy of Arts and Sciences and the viewing people at home, comes time now for the big moment of our presentation of Emma Awards. Nominated for the Best Western of 1958, an hour or half-hour Western, Gunsmoke, Wagon Train, Half Gun Will Travel, Maverick, The Rifleman, Sin Sin City, and Bat Masterson. The envelope, please. The winner, Gunsmoke. And so, ladies and gentlemen, all of us here at the beautiful Baton Rouge Theater, I want to congratulate Mr. James Finesse and the producers and directors of the technical crew of Gunsmoke for winning.
Hold on a minute now. I'm Bart Maverick, and I paid off the Academy. They promised me that I'd win as Maverick.
What's that, Major? I knew it was Wagon Train
that won. I know it, Charlie. We won that by all right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I know that we won that award.
Ladies and gentlemen, back to our studio. We're standing by for one of the stars of WRC Television who has condescended to creep out here on radio. So shall you introduce him?
And now, Edward R. Forrester and the weather.
There's the weather.
And now... King Kong Birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a newscaster, brings you the exciting, heartwarming story of Stella Bear and her fight for love and happiness. Starring the gifted stage and screen star, Margaret Hartburn, in the title role. It is late afternoon. As our story opens this afternoon, we find Mama Bear and Papa Bear in the living room, their young son Herbert having just returned from auditioning for a job. As the theme fades out in the background, we'll judge.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't get my job that I went out to get.
No, poor old Herbert. That's too bad, son.
Tell us about it, son.
What'd you do?
Well, you know, I thought I would audition as a job as a summer radio announcer.
I think you got a beautiful voice, Herbert.
Well, thank you, Mom. That's why I decided to do it. So I went on up there, and I went through the audition. I think I did pretty good, too.
Well, what'd you say, Herbert?
Well, the first thing, I got up in front of the microphone, and I said, this is the TBS Radio Network.
How'd that go over?
Well, not too good, because it was NBC that I was auditioning for, you see.
They didn't take to that too hot.
No, and then I read a newscast and a weather forecast and a little commercial and a few things like that, and I did a record show and a disc jockey thing, you know.
Well, they're just snobs, I guess, Herbert. They don't understand the young
boy. Why didn't you get the job, Herbert? Well, they told me that I didn't look right for TV. That was the reason.
Well, I can understand that. I sympathize with them for that. I don't think television's ready for you yet.
Well, I got out there and I said, this is Herbert R. Murrow in the news.
Well, I don't know, Herbert.
And he didn't like it.
I don't either. Oh, not.
That's a pretty bomb show.
Yeah,
there,
you blew a good one there.
Well,
tell me, I've we got to get out of this some way, so this is the standard closing on this type of bomb. Did they give you any encouragement, Herbert?
Well, no, they said, don't call us, we'll call you in about 20 years.
That's not the right answer. I say, did they give you any encouragement, like, about the business?
Oh, yes, indeed. I heard one of the guys say that they were going to make me a stockholder.
A stockholder, Herbert?
Yeah, I heard the program director say, let's give that kid the business, you know. I think I just did it right here, too.
Cue the sound, man. I'm glad it's Friday. Maybe they'll be back on Monday and we'll get some new script writers.
You think so?
I doubt it, but...
Well, King Kong Birdseed.
Why don't you let me do your part? I think I auditioned for an announcer.
Shoot, get away from me, boy.
King Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in... Oh!
King Kong Birdseed is born another week, just plain still a bear. Starring Margaret Hartburn in the title role. Based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Klein. Adapted for radio. I just got that line. Not Enough Soon Enough. Remember the book Too Much Too Soon? The takeoff on this.
What's the gag? You know?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to give you one if you don't stop.
Adapted for radio by Old Fitzgerald. This has been a Sherman D. Tank production.
You tried chlorophyll toothpaste.
That didn't help either.
Well, you need a good taste in the mouth.
Whatever happened to Mutual, the world's largest network? Cue the music.
Our weather prognosticator, Wilbur Weathervane, the Washington weatherman, as Wilbur reports from the Washington Weather Tower. Wilbur?
Wilbur Weathervane speaking to you from the Washington Weather Tower. Hello, Ed Walker.
Hi, Wilbur. Say, I understand they had a big meteorological convention last week in Washington.
That's right. We got a case of Carling the Red Cap. We got some dice. Had a real blast.
Now, wait a minute. I understand that this is a thing where they discuss the weather and cumulus clouds and all sorts of things. Did they actually let you into this meeting?
That's what you heard about this meeting? We discussed clouds and weather? Are you really kidding me?
Well, that's what Frank Forrester said they did over there.
You should have seen Frank. Was he in the bag? And I don't mean a weather bag. He really laid one on. I'm surprised he got to work the next day.
Wait a minute, Wilbur. This is a family show we're doing here. Now, I don't believe in the first place that they would let the likes of you into a weather meeting.
I was one of the chief members. I spoke and lectured on cloud formations over the Sahara Desert.
You know, cloud formations over the Sahara Desert, huh?
That's right. It's not too far from Wilbur Clark's Desert Inn out in Las Vegas. That's where I spent my vacation last year, and that's why they consider me an expert. You know, pulling the wheel of the roulette table with dice, that game's going on, having a lot of laughs.
Well, when did you have time to notice the clouds over the Sahara Desert when you were busy watching the floor show at the Desert Inn?
Well, I passed out and saw straight up. What do you think?
I see. Thank you very much for this enlightening weather report, Wilbur. See you next week, I'm afraid.
You don't want to know nothing about the weather for this weekend?
I don't think you know nothing about the weather for this weekend. What do you know?
What's your attitude? Goodbye.
Okay. Bye, Wilbur.
Each week, thousands of men all over America thrill to the pages of Beast magazine. Its infamous blood-curdling stories of savagery, jungle hunts, and wild safaris. Frenetic raging tribes roaring berserk to the teeming, rotting jungles of torrid Africa. No other magazine has dared to print the accounts of intrigue in the wilds of the great outdoors as has Beast magazine, the man's magazine. You'll recognize Beast magazine by the blood-red cover at your newsstand. This week's issue has a picture of a pair of mountain goats blocked in mortal combat on the cover. This program is honored to present to its listeners the editor-in-chief of this wild outdoor magazine, the rugged, bearded, half-wild Buck Beast, who himself was born in a tree hut in Africa. For 7 years, he was lost in the Belgian Congo without food, compass, or water. And just last month, he returned from the deep bush country of Australia, where he captured single-handed the hook-nosed, ring-tailed, double-beaked wild boar. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to present to you the editor-in-chief of Beast magazine, Buck Beast. Buck, how are you?
Oh, pretty bush this afternoon.
What's the matter, Buck?
Well, I'm pooped. I carried a big box of animal crackers all the way home from the Safeway, and I'm just worn out.
Well, your thumb was kind of beat up there. Did you lose it?
I slammed it on the door.
Oh, I thought maybe some wild animal tore it off or something.
No. By the way, remind me to show you my color pictures of those mountain goats. I think you'll get a big kick out of those.
All right. I'll be over to your house as soon as we get cleared there.
Yeah, it's really smart, so I'll tell you.
What was your last exciting adventure, Buck?
Well, we were out trying to get photographs of some of the wilder animals for our next issue of Beast magazine, you know.
Yes, where were you?
Well, we were down in the southern Everglades area, you might say.
Oh, really? What was it like, Buck?
Well, it was terrible. Flies everywhere. We had to swat the flies every time we sat down to eat.
Swatting flies.
We had to wear hats to protect our heads from the flies.
That's always
swatting the flies.
Swatting the flies.
All the time. It got to be so bad.
Where were you, Buck?
The Fontainebleau. Oh, those flies are terrible down there.
Right? Oh, that's right. This is the season.
Yes.
Well, Buck, what's your next big adventure?
Well, the next thing we're going to do is to go on an extended expedition to the South Africa area, where we hope to find some very unusual animals, things never seen before by the humans.
Well, that's wonderful, Buck. Sounds very intriguing.
I think you'll enjoy next month's issue of Beast Magazine.
Well, I'm thrilled to it every week.
Captured these pictures, as I started to tell you before. We were trying to catch a shot of a very wild, ferocious gorilla.
A gorilla?
Yes. I approached the gorilla with my camera in hand.
Yeah?
My color film in the camera, all poised, yeah, ready to take the picture.
Yeah?
And just as I was ready to snap the picture,
yeah,
the gorilla lunged at me.
Oh, really? What happened, Buck?
Well, I was saved, fortunately. He couldn't get through the bars.
Oh, he was all barred up.
Yeah, we were at the zoo, of course. You don't think I'd go out and face him face to face, do you?
Heavens, no.
I'm no fool.
Buck, we wish we had more time to talk about this whole adventure, but I understand you have to rush off, right?
That's correct. I have an important engagement with a tiger.
A tiger, Buck?
Yes.
What's this?
Well, I have a recording session at RCA. I'm going to make an album, and the featured song is Hold That Tiger, Hold That Tiger, Hold That Tiger.
We've been talking with Buck Beast, editor-in-chief of Beast Magazine. You can see Beast Magazine at your favorite newsstand with a picture of a pair of mountain goats locked in mortal combat on the cover. Now, back to our studio, Buck. I
scared myself talking about those tigers.
Seventeen minutes until 6 o'clock here. It was a thrilling thing with Buck Beast there, would you?
Kind of glad he left.
Help him out the door there. Hey.
Hey, I'll throw.
Now you can make your harness racing selections with authority.
You can also read a piece
I'm
going to
get new
teeth
tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
This is not my day. You can make your harness racing selections with authority. The Star's new guide on trotting racing, called Trailing the Trotters, is just off the presses, on sale now.
Can you repeat that again, please?
Trailing the Trotters.
Crazy, I like
it. Just off the presses for only 25 cents. Trailing the Trotters, written by Dick O'Brien, the Star handicapper.
And he's really handicapped.
It'll give you a keener understanding of harness racing and give you a sound basis for picking them. Yes, sir.
Why'd you get to me now?
Go ahead.
Whether you're an expert on harness racing or about to watch the excitement of trotters and pacers for the first time, you'll find this book a booklet in Trailing the Trotters covers all the fine points in basic preparation. It tells you about gaits and tendencies to break cow races, how to read past performance charts. It explains the tote board. And very important to every fan, how to pick them.
Sherlock. Trailing the Trotters will make you a keen judge on harness racing. So why don't you get in there with the inside knowledge? It adds spice to the pleasure of watching them go. So you get your copy now, won't you? And you follow Mr. O'Brien's Rosecroft selection every day in the Star. Trailing the Trotters is on sale now for just 25 cents. You get a copy at Rosecroft Raceway in the Star Lobby at 11th and Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest or at leading newsstands. And if you want to order, just mail 35 cents for each copy in coins, check, or money order to Trailing the Trotters, Evening Star, Virginia Avenue and 2nd Street, Southeast, Washington, D.C.
What does make good mean? I never did.
I don't know, but we're going to find out soon.
It's exactly 5:45, and speaking of Trailing the Trotter...
He's a man who's trotting his trailer here now.
He's been following horses for years and a couple of mules. He follows next over NBC. Here's Frank Forrester.
Good evening, gentlemen. If you think I'm going to make a pitiful spectacle of myself and breaking up, you're very much mistaken. The weather actually is very serious, as these buffoons will find out very shortly.
There we go.
Welcome to Betty Crockett's Experimental Kitchen. Well, each week at this time, WRC presents our home economist, Miss Betty Crockett, with another interesting recipe. Here she is, the queen of the kitchen range, Betty Crockett.
Hello, Eddie.
Hi, Betty.
How are you?
Just charming this afternoon.
Oh, shucks, my boy. How are you?
You do look very nice today.
Well, I bought me a new dress at sea.
Gee, that is pretty.
You like it, really?
I like that very much.
Little ruffles around the bottom.
Can I have one of those chicken fried cookies over there?
Harry! Get your hand out of my cookie jar.
Okay,
here, where's an art page?
Good heavens.
Hey, listen, how about a recipe for this afternoon?
Huh? How about a recipe for this afternoon, Ed?
That's just what I said.
Sure would.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well,
I'm
waiting.
What?
For the recipe.
I think so, yeah.
All right, let's have it.
All right, Eddie, I think the girls should be ready for a recipe this afternoon.
We've all got our pencils and papers here.
What for?
For the recipe.
Oh, excuse me.
Good goodness, thanks.
All right, today, girls, for something light and different, for something that I think you all really get a big charge out of, we have some wonderful cauliflower cachetourian.
Do you have hay fever, or were you sneezing, or were you having cauliflower cachetourian?
That's cauliflower cachetourian, that's right.
Gesundheit. Well, what exactly is cauliflower cachetourian? Cauliflower au gratin and things like that. How do you prepare it?
Well, you prepare it like you do normal cauliflower, just cook it.
Then there's no difference. Why do you call it cauliflower cachetourian?
It's the whole meal. You don't eat nothing else with it.
Just cauliflower.
Well, then you get yourself a cachetourian record, like the Saber Dance, something real fast and lively.
I'll give you indigestion before you...
And you eat the cauliflower, and you can see if you can't eat, finish the pot of cauliflower before the record's over.
Oh, I see. Well, that sounds terrible. Thank you very much, Betty, for another uninterrupted recipe. We'll be back next Tuesday with another recipe. Try to find a better recipe next week, will you?
Try to get me a sponsor.
Yeah, all right. You've been listening to Betty Crockett, WRC's home economist, and we say so long.
WRC presents this spot about WRC radio television correspondent with news and views on what's going on in the radio television business. And now from the WRC newsroom, here is Miss Lana Mao.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, Ed Walker, ladies and gentlemen. My first exclusive, Romance on the Airwaves. Pretty Jane Neville and Bearded Jem Henson, both of Muppets fame on Channel 4, plan a June wedding. A promise of more dummies to come. Sam of Sam and Friends will be best man. The wedding to be catered by Wilkins Coffee. Haste makes waste, department. It seems a certain WGMS announcer near the end of his 8-hour workday was playing the opera Aida in its entirety when, by mistake, he put the grand finale from the 5/5 act of the opera on the record player at the wrong speed. Aside from the opera finishing 30 minutes early, it's now number 28 on the top 40. As punishment, management made the port announcer listen to Milton Cross commentary for 2 hours uninterrupted. Exclusive! The new Scream in Arlington has just installed a soupette machine and a throat spray tray for all its staff announcers. Good for them! Morning men and radio in the news. It seems under a new agreement, Arthur Brown of WWCD has had to give his canaries, who chirp on his morning radio program, has had to make them join the union. Apparently they weren't getting paid scale. Really, Arthur? Names in the news. One Washington radio disc jockey and television personality who works for one station was driving in his automobile and listening to a second radio station which happened to have some certain numbers called out on the dollar bill. Now, this certain DJ happened to have a dollar bill with the corresponding numbers, and he won $1,000. However, word got out, as it always does, and he was fired by his station for listening to another station. Looks like a single for Jimmer. Finally, yes, the rumor is true. Since Bill Grant has been working with teenagers on television, his voice is beginning to change. Thank you.
You've been listening to WRC radio and television correspondent Ms. Lana Mao with news and views on what's going on in the television world. Join us next week when, once again, we'll have more inside stories by Lana Mao.
Yes, the man who came to dinner was a freeloader.
No, an Irish setter is not a lazy Irishman.
Yes, Fu Manchu is now a waiter at the Peking restaurant.
No, Oliver Twist is not the name of a chewing tobacco. It's time once more for radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man. Now in its 83rd year. Each week at this time, The Answer Man answers the questions you, the radio listeners, have sent to him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is The Answer Man.
Thank you, Willard Scott, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My, I see we got a big mailbag full of mail there.
Certainly, Mr.
The mailman put on weight this week.
No. First question, sir.
Yes.
A fisherman from Deal, Maryland writes, what was the most recent historic event to take place on the shores of the Chesapeake Bay?
Why don't you ask the people at Brew National Bowl? They seem to have all the answers about the Chesapeake Bay.
A postal clerk from Hyattsville would like to know, what was the origin of the postal office?
Post office is an old game that started at parties years ago. Before post office, they had a game called Pony Express, which was much the same thing, only it had a little more horsing around.
A woman dental technician from Arlington writes, why is the Dead Sea so called the Dead Sea?
Well, if you ever been there on a Saturday night, boy, they roll up the sidewalks about 10 o'clock. You couldn't hold a candle to Ocean City, believe me.
You've been listening to radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man. Now, if you have any questions for which you'd like the answers, just address a card or letter to The Answer Man, WRC Radio, Red Square, Hartburn 2, Virginia, along with $635 to cover the cost of handling and mailing. And be with us again next week when once again we'll present The Answer Man.
Good evening, pipe fans. This is Wet Idiot.
And Don Dumpy.
Speaking on behalf of Flick Injector Razors, bringing you this exciting four-round fight here tonight between Mo Capritz and Shannon and Lux over a 10-acre track in Chantilly. It's going to be very interesting fight brought to you, of course, always by your Flick Injector Razor. Push, pull, click, click, cut your throat, that's quick. All Carmen Killefield from the Washington Senators says this about shaving with a smooth Flick Injector Razor.
Ah! Give me a Band-Aid, I'm bleeding to death.
Round one, here is Don Dumpy.
Thank you very much, Wendy. Here we go. Logging out of the center of the ring now. This is the paperweight championship of the world. Here you can hear there's a left there, light jab there by Mo Capritz. Oh, and a retaliation by Shannon and Lux. Here they are, they're out of the center of the ring. There's a hard left to the jaw by Mo Capritz there. And retaliating is Shannon and Lux. Ooh, with that uppercut, that's the end of round one. Here's Wendy.
The round looks pretty interesting from up here. Looks like Capritz is leading by at least 2 points, if I were counting this the way it is. Don't forget, this whole thing is being brought to you to the courtesy of your Flick Injector Razor, one of the smoothest, cleanest shaves this week. Marlon Brando, the Washington Redskins, has this to say about your Flick Injector Razor.
Star, give me a Band-Aid!
Yes, all over the country, people are calling for more Band-Aids. More Band-Aids and more Band-Aids. Now, back down to Don Dumpy.
Thank you very much, Wendy. As you know, most of us took a terrible beating in round one. Now, here they go out of the center of the ring again now. They're moving closer to our Flick Injector microphone here. Oh, Capritz is coming back now with a tremendous left, and a right, and an uppercut, and a lower cut. And there's one to the right downstairs, one to the left downstairs. Capritz all the way. Yes, sir, they're wrecking the right team here now. Oh, look out. They're getting closer to our... Ah, it's a wonderful... Ah, Flick, ah, oh...
This is when Idiot, apparently, Mo Capritz, lost his mind. He let one fly, and he knocked on that he right to jump. That's it for the shot.
I just bit him. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Kill the Scooby.
So what, do you want to make a federal case out of it?
No, just kill the Scooby, that's all. I just...
Golly. Gee, honey, it's such a pretty night, and the moon is out, and... Honey, do you have to chew that bubble gum like that?
Oh, that was a good one.
but you're so cute, and you're so pretty, and you're my girl, and you can chew bubble gum if you want to. Honey, why are you scratching your head, honey?
It itches.
I know, but I mean, it's such a pretty night and all. You have to scratch your head, and it's filled with the moon and the shimmering water.
Somebody must be talking about me or something. My head itches. I don't understand. It's just... Oh, dear.
Yeah, but, honey, I've been wanting to ask you something all day.
My stomach's beginning to growl. I'm a little hungry here.
Ow.
Oh, excuse me.
I brought you all the way out here in the country so we could maybe talk about our future. Mm-hmm. You and me together.
Oh, look at that shooting star up there. My goodness.
Honey, this is no time to eat. I want to tell you how much I love you. I know the crackers are real good.
Mm.
The Twinkies too. I know you got a bunch of Twinkies, but if you and I could just talk for a few minutes, sweetheart. Honey, that's your eating hand. What are you scratching your head for?
I don't know. That's all.
Oh, let's get out of here.
Okay.
What's up there?
Got an award, Willard.
Good. What is it?
The Washington Fire Department has just voted this program the biggest false alarm in radio.
Hey, how about that?
Whee!
Hi there. This is Al Roth.
Come on, will you get out of here?
Thank you very much, Guy. That was delightful, Ray.
From the Hotel Fidel Castro in downtown New York, it's Guy Lombardo and his Royal Americans.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
So what, do you want to make a federal case out of it?
I think we already did.
King Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you the heartwarming story of Stella Bear and her fight for love and happiness. Starring the gifted stage and screen star, Margaret Hartburn, in the title role of Stella Bear, kindly old lady. As our story opens, it is just early afternoon in the Bear house. Young 38-year-old sixth grader Herbert Bear, son of Mama and Papa Bear, has just returned home from school and is studying for his examinations with Mama and Papa Hilton. Shall we join them?
Herbert says 4, 4, 16, and 4. I've got a little problem here with some of these questions there, Ma.
Well, old Mama Bear will help you out if you can. Please, Herbert, Papa, would you pay attention? Read the paper.
All right, son. Well, now, I'm just going to give these answers here, and you tell me if I'm right, okay?
Okay.
Columbus discovered America in 1942.
1492.
Oh, yeah, I always get that backwards.
I before E, except after C.
That's right. Now, let's see here. The Pilgrims came over to this country on a Plymouth.
No, not a Plymouth.
They landed on Plymouth Rock. Oh, that's right. They came over here in a pair of water wings or something.
No, it was a Chevrolet.
Oh, that's right. Sure, okay. It is.
Well, you matter.
Well, I don't know. I'm having trouble with these questions.
I don't know, Herbert. Herbert, you sometimes try my patience. Do you know where you live? Do you know your own address, Herbert?
Of course I do. Let's see. I live at, Well, that's funny, because a patrol boy told me when he brought me home from school this afternoon.
Herbert Bear, I do declare my...
That looks like Herbert Bear doesn't even know his own street address. He's just too bright, is he? He's got to stop staying out at the Gaslight Club every night. He's ruining his...
King Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, has brought you the exciting true-to-life story of Stella Bear. Based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Clyde. Adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine. This has been a Sherman D. Pank production.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Can we have your attention, please? This week, we present the new screen pick hit of the week. These are available to you on a non-breakable 33 and a third, 46, 52, or 63 RPM disc. Your favorite speed. For just $2.98, you'll receive these top hits.
Here they are. Hear a Little Spanish Town by Fidel Castro. Pink Shoelaces by Tom McCann. As Time Goes By with our car layers. Sorry, I Ran All the Way Home by Roy Chalk. Lonely Saturday Night by Jackie Gleason. Teenager in Love by Sophie Tucker. Tell Him No with Nikita Khrushchev. It's Just a Matter of Time by John Cameron Swayze. Everybody Out of the Pool by Esther Williams. And finally, Total Strangers by Martin and Lloyd.
The price, $2.98 in the United States, $3.98 in Siberia.
Ding Dong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you the exciting, heartwarming story of Stella Bear and her fight for love and happiness. Starring the gifted stage and screen star, Margaret Hackburn, in the title role of Stella Bear. It is late afternoon in the Bear house as we find Mama Bear and Papa Bear and their young, wealthy 38-year-old son, Playboy Herbert, in the kitchen, apparently sampling some of Mama Bear's wares.
Boy, those awful, those cookies smell awful good there, Mark. And I take some of them to the kids at school. Maybe they won't beat me up, you know, if I have some cookies to give them there.
Herbert, I told you not to fight. Now, you're in the sixth grade. You're big enough to know.
Well, I can't help it if they pick on me. I mean, these kids, 11, 12 years old, it's kind of hard to keep up with them, you know.
But that nasty report card where you sat on young Theodore P. Theodore next door there was most
disgusting. He had it coming, oh boy.
Well,
Herbert, that's beside the point. Those cookies do smell awful good. We all got a sample one.
No, I knew you bought some cookies.
Yeah, me too. Here, what are these, Toll House cookies? Is that what they are?
Yeah, it's a little bit of Whitman Sampler Toll House chopped up cookies.
Well, let me just take a big bite here.
Got the recipe and see them?
Here I go.
What's the matter?
A little talk there, Ma.
Well, I mean, they're fresh cookies, and they still probably just...
Let me try one here, Ma. I think Herbert's teeth are weak or something here. Let me just take a slim mouthful here.
Whoa.
Ah. You think they were Toll House or Toll Bridge cookies?
Well, I got the recipe out of Field and Stream. That'll be pretty good.
My bridge is paying the toll here, boy. Ooh. I don't know. Have you ate any of these, Ma?
I had a few while I was cooking them, but I didn't even see them.
Well.
Oh, Minnie, what's the matter? Don't you like the cookies?
I like the cookies, but I just broke off a tooth there, I think.
Oh,
boy, I just snapped off one of my bicuspids there, too, Maud. Ow, there goes another one. Ooh, ooh, ow.
Oh, this is serious now. We're going to have a $1,000 dentist bill just because you decided to bake a few cookies. Oh, there goes another one.
I don't know what you're making such a fuss over. They're good cookies.
Here, why don't you eat one of them? I'll try your own cooking. I'll show you. Okay.
Keeps happening. This one won't work anyway. I'll get you one. Here we go.
Now she's going to eat the cookie, folks. Maybe tomorrow we'll find out if Ma's going to eat the cookie or not, huh? We'll draw the whole left side of her teeth there. Boy, that was the most miserable part of any story I ever heard of in my life.
Well, it does seem a little bit...
Ding Dong Birdseed, the greatest day. Now it'll work. Now it works. The greatest name in birdseed has brought you another exciting episode of Just Plain Stella Bear, based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Clyde. Adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine. This has been a Sherman D. Tank production.
Have a cookie.
Hoot Moore with my good buddy No with me right now.
That's right, friends and neighbors. We're just so proud to be here. How did you do to everybody?
We're going to be picking and singing for you for the next 10 hours. Some of your favorite country and western tunes and some goodbyes from some of our fine sponsors.
That's right. We're up here at WWVO in Seagram's, West Virginia. Just want to say a great big hello to all our friends and disc jockeys down in WSN in Nashville, Tennessee, right, Hoot?
That's right, No.
We sure would like to say hello. In fact, we like to say hello so much we like to get down there in Nashville and that little that money you all make down there and slop on the side of the hog is high.
That's right, because it's sure the crummiest station we've ever worked for. Right now?
Right, and if you got any jobs in Nashville, WSM, the Grand Ole Up John, we'd love to come down and help you pick a little sometime.
Why don't you tell them where the folks are in our travel teams are going to be playing the next week or so there, no?
Right, proud to do it, old sugar booger. Next week is following. Here's the schedule. Next Tuesday, little Jimmy Whalen's going to be up in Saskatchewan. Want to laugh. On Tuesday night, he'll be down in Tijuana in Mexico. Wednesday afternoon, he'll be over in Tokyo, Japan. And Thursday morning, he's going to be in jail.
Baby. Now, I know why you're wondering why little Jimmy is wailing and traveling so much, but the reason is he's been passing bad checks.
Oh,
left the eyes out after him, yes. You've got
right.
to keep on the move, right? Speaking of moving, we'll tell you about some of our fine sponsors. Right now, here's a little country and western music for you here.
Play that thing right there. It's a new one by Pete Texas Tommy. That's Glenn L. Martin on his guitar.
All right, Yasha, pick me out one. You saw it for me. Friends, I realize that so many of you are getting tired of walking and wearing out your shoes or taking streetcars or buses. That's why we want to tell you about Harry, the used car dealer, right?
We certainly do. Who'd probably do that? We had a wonderful call from Little Maggie's Grill and Barroom over in St. Louis, Missouri. They're catching us tonight, and they want to hear the next record for them.
Well, we'll sure play it for you, Maggie, coming up in just a minute. Right now, here's a word about Harry, the homicidal our used car dealer.
Now that's right, that. Friends and neighbors. We're so happy to make this radio offer. First time it's ever been done on the air, and we're just so proud to do it. Friends and neighbors, we have a one-of-a-lifetime, one-of-its-kind automobile, only driven by the little lady who drove it to NASCAR meetings on weekends. This is a 1942 Austin car with a rebuilt 58 Cadillac motor. And last time it was road tested, the motor leaped out of the hood, and this car's guaranteed on the getaway, and it's a wonderful buy for only $100.
That's right. Now, you just, if you want to pay this thing on time, you can do it. Just pay $100 down. Of course, you'll be paying for it for the rest of your life, but that's the kind of a friendly fellow that Harry is. All
you
right.
You throw in a horse and a half of sow belly if you'd like to get in there early. Thank you.
All righty. Now, that's, you remember that, send $100 to Hootmore and his pal, No, WWVO, Seagram's, West Virginia. All right, so we just got a tremendous offer here, Noel, from the boss. He just called up, says for $2.98, any of you, the first one that calls can have this whole station for just $2.98.
That's right, friends and neighbors, for just a ridiculous low price of $2.98, we will sell you our four twin tower transmitting towers, guaranteed to reach halfway around the world nonstop and all directional.
50,000 watt transmitter, a library of 40,000 raw A cup records, and lots more, too.
$2.98 the price. Give us a call at WWVO in Seagram's, West Virginia.
You make it $3.98, you can even have me and No More to stay with the station, right?
With a 30-year option on the contract.
That just about does it for our picking and the singing tonight. This is your old coffee drinking night owl, Hootmore, and.
And No More's brother, Sam. Good night, Sugar Booger. WS Man. And please give us a job. It's getting buggy up here.
The Police Broadcasting Corporation presents The Adventures of Robin Hood. English character of Sherwood Forest, who robbed from the rich to give to the poor. As our story opens, Robin Hood and his band of men are riding hard in Sherwood Forest. All of a sudden, a little clearing outside of a thicket, the horses come to a halt. Robin Hood dismounts. His men dismount after him.
All right, men. You are the men of Robin Hood's band. I am Robin Hood, who is feared by the rich and loved by the good. We are meeting here in Sherwood Forest this evening to discuss a very important job. All of you in the band are here, I assume. Little John.
Aye, Robin.
Fire Tuck.
Aye, Robin.
Alan Adale.
I told you.
I said Alan Adale, not Alan Dale.
Right, I'm here, Robin.
Now then, gentlemen, We have a very important job this evening, and you of my band must be alerted.
Aye, we're ready for anything, Robin.
Shall we go through the proceedings once before we begin?
Aye.
All right. One and two and... You of my merry band did a wonderful job. And I want you to know that we're going to do all right this evening. Don't forget the meeting place, the Blue Room of the Shoreham. And I assure you, we will be paid scale.
Good heavens, I shot the producer. This program came to you from Worcestershire on South.
Yes, Zanza Bar is the name of a cocktail lounge owned by Zanza in Miami.
No, Orson Bean is not from Boston.
Yes, Jack the Ripper is a tailor for Robert Hall.
No, Santa Flush is not the name of a town in New Mexico. It's time once more for radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man, now in its 83rd year. Each week at this time, The Answer Man answers the questions you, the radio listeners, send to him. And now, here he is, The Answer Man.
Thank you, Willard Scott. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to be with you again. I see we have a big stack of mail there.
Like always, Mr. Answer Man.
Now, let's open the first letter.
A lady listener from Northwest Washington writes, was Henry VIII a member of the Ford family?
No, he isn't, although he was a two-door.
A gentleman from Hyattsville would like to know, what was the secret used by history's famous lover, Casanova?
I'm not quite sure. I think it must have been men and products for men. But if you find out the real answer, let me know, will you?
A schoolmarm from Alexandria, Virginia writes, in grading on the curve, if one equal group of students gets 90 or above, and the other equal group of students gets 40 or below, then how do you grade the middle group of students that get between 40 and 90 on the curve system without offending certain individual students who have a particular talent for that particular type of grading system?
I'm not quite sure how we did this in rehearsal, but I think it was if you take the curve of 90 or above and subtract it from the curve of 40 or below, then you have a middle there of 50, which means that you have to separate the two. And then, by using an algebraic formula, which, of course, you can have by prescription at your doctor, you can fill this out, and then, of course, you'll have the correct answer.
An apartment dweller from Arlington Towers writes, why don't they turn the heat off in this joint?
Well, I have a note from that apartment building. It says, why don't you pay your bill in this joint?
You've been listening to radio's time-honored program, The Answer Marm.
That was a note to me, incidentally. I'm the guy that lives in that apartment. I don't know.
If you have any questions for which you'd like the answer, just address a CAD to Answer Man, WRC Radio, Red Square, Hartburn 2, Virginia, along with $635 to cover the cost of handling and mailing. And be with us again next week when once more we'll present The Answer Man. WRC Radio, in cooperation with gardening experts everywhere, presents Martin Greenthumb, our WRC gardener. Yes, it's time once more to garden with garden. To get things growing and get things knowing, here's the man who grows and knows. In fact, he has one of the biggest noses, and it seems to keep growing every time I come in the studio. Gordon Greenthumb, our gardener.
Well, good afternoon, friends, and thank you, Willard Scott. What happened to F.W. Bogiani? They canceled, huh?
Oh, they're still with us. This is their big season.
Good.
Well, I'm supposed to say now that this program is brought to you by the F.W. Bogiani Company, makers of bigger and better Bogiani.
Well, thank you very much, friends. This afternoon, I'd like to talk about a big, big problem with all you gardeners.
That's right, Gordon. We've had many letters on today's subject. Would you like me to introduce the subject?
Why don't you, Willard? Yes.
Today's subject with Gardening with Gordon is crabgrass, do or die. And here's Gordon Greenthumb to explain.
Well, I have come up with a wonderful formula that will guarantee to get rid of all that crabgrass. It's marvelous, it's sensational, and it's very practical.
That's wonderful, Gordon, because many of our listeners all over the area have trouble every single year with the same thing. Crabgrass, crabgrass, crabgrass.
Well, believe me, if they follow my simple instructions, they won't have that
shovel anymore.
What do you use, Gordon?
Well, first of all, you have to have a big sandbox to mix it in.
This is a special formula of your own.
That's right.
A sandbox.
Now, in this sandbox, you put lots of sand and gravel.
Sand and gravel.
Then you add some Petty Ross Borum of Valley.
Petty Ross Borum of Valley.
And sodium acetyl salicylate.
Sodium acetyl salicylate.
Floor sand.
Floor sand.
And finally, some Portland cement.
Portland cement?
That's right. You're concreting your whole backyard.
What?
That way you get rid of all the crabgrass. You can paint some grass coloring on it, and it looks like a fuzzy piece of cement. It's wonderful.
It's been Gardening with Gordon, and it's been great. And it's probably never going to happen again if we can help it. Over NBC.
It sure does. In the eighth of race tomorrow night, it runs. Sorry.
Why don't we do it again?
All right.
Here they come.
Speak your chest, read the papers, make too much noise. See nine great harness races tonight at Rose Cross Raceway. You may see a new record. Forget it. Yes, everything points to a new track record in sixth or seventh race tonight, or in the eighth race tomorrow night at Rose Cross Raceway. The track is lightning fast. Competition stiff. And the pick of America's trotters and pacers are now gathered at Rose Cross. So come on out tonight and see nine great thrilling harness races. Watch them go by for a new track record. Five out. Rose Cross is only 8 miles south of the Capitol Building in Oxon Hill, Maryland. Post time is 8:20. Perry Mutual, Daily Double, closes to 8:10.
Hi, friends. I'm Perry Mutual.
You watch him on Channel 9 every Saturday night. General admission is $1.50. Rain or shine, the racing is fine at Rose Cross.
This marriage counselor, Miss Nellie Nuptial, with tips on marriage.
Good afternoon, sweethearts, fiancés, husbands and wives-to-be. This is your friendly marriage counselor, Nellie Nuptial, with another informal get-together where we discuss some of the most important things in etiquette and married life and getting together, getting along with one another.
Well, very nice to have you aboard again today, Nellie.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. It's a great pleasure to be here. As you notice, I brought a couple of friends with me.
Wonderful. What is your subject on today's broadcast?
This afternoon, we are discussing the proper way to walk down the aisle.
Walking down the aisle.
That is right. I'd like you to meet this handsome couple that I have there.
Very charming couple.
You can see the look in their eyes.
I see both eyes.
I'd like you to meet, first of all, Mr. Mac Truck.
Hello, Jack. How are you?
That is Willard Scott, Mac.
And
this is his lovely fiancée, Janet Jeep.
Hi, Janet.
Hi, honey.
Quiet, Janet, please.
Oh, boy, this is going to be wonderful.
Now then, we will discuss and we're showing
our... Beltsville, so they'll be on the alert.
Our television audience will like to see this, I'm sure. So that you'll take
we're
a close-up on camera, too, over there.
Nellie, we're on radio.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting.
Into the TV's about the morning.
Too bad. Well... Anyway, first of all, we will discuss... Of course, it's very obvious when you walk down the aisle at the beginning of the wedding ceremony, the groom is already there, right, Mac?
Just a minute, Hazelnose. I want to make sure we get a few things straight. This is going to be a very small, intimate wedding, and I don't want to get it all jacked up here with,
details. Of course. Now, this is just common courtesy. Common courtesy. You walk in with the minister.
Yeah.
And Janet, you will walk down the aisle last in the procession of your bridesmaids. Yes. Oh, for goodness sake.
Could we demonstrate this now? Is our organist here?
Rosa Rio is at the organ there. She's
wonderful.
Got a reprise for my
child. Fly on your nose, Rose.
If you would like to play the wedding march, now we'll have the groom come in there, Rosa, please. If you would like. I'll let you just walk slowly down the aisle.
Okay.
Not quite so heavy for the time.
I got my parents on the phone calling me. Got a rattle in a studio here.
Just a moment, Janet.
Shut up, Janet. Let
Hazel know if
they give us a bit.
That's perfect, Mac. That's beautiful, the way you're coming. I don't like the way you're doing that, Mac.
You don't like this about the way I do anything. Without bringing your nose, you don't shut up.
I think there's no way to come down the aisle, Mac.
Marriage counselor.
Frank Forrester has a commercial.
You're going to pass that down.
Hey, did you know that Frank Forrester has a commercial?
Frank Forrester's got a commercial.
Frank Forrester's got a commercial.
Frank Forrester's got a commercial.
Frank Forrester's got a commercial. Well, they passed it around now. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Yes, wonderful.
Right after we listen to Frank Forrester and the commercial.